The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Thursday. Gary,
hi.
How are you?
Good. I mean, we're just, as you said in our pre-show meeting, you said, and we're really a year. We're really a year from the the meat.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry, PETA.
Yeah.
From the full course meal of election time.
Which could include vegetable proteins.
Yes.
Although agriculture is contributing to the, the global warming, so I don't know that it can. You can't farm anymore either. So you, if you can't grow anything, I don't know what we're supposed to eat.
Die. We're supposed to die.
Okay.
Well, remember, too, plants feel pain.
Right, yeah. That going back. Oh my gosh, we're going back to classic talk radio.
We're going back to end of 92, 93 when that research was done. And I remember talking about it on the radio way back then.
Yeah,
that they believe that that plants feel pain, and so at that point you have to stop everything. I mean, we need to survive without using plants or animals.
Right. Well, that's actually back when I explored becoming a vegan.
Hold it. Let me jot this down. We'll send this to AOC and see what she says about it.
Also, don't stand too close to the ground. That's because, you know, you're trampling on Mother Earth.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You need to hover.
Right. Yeah.
Hover above.
Right.
One of those really interesting days yesterday. I was up really, really early. I only got sleep in the second part of my sleep pattern because...
Right.
I've got painters doing things on the outside of my house.
Are these artistic painters? Is it graffiti? Are these people you hired?
Graffiti.
Okay, good. I thought, you know, because you live in one of those shady neighborhoods.
No, Isn't
your apartment above a liquor store or something like that?
I did have an apartment above a liquor store and a pizzeria after college.
Okay, how is that not the greatest apartment? Did you pay double rent?
No, we actually got a deal because we did not have a thermostat in our apartment.
Oh, so you whatever the guy downstairs set it on, you had to
whatever
deal with
it. Whatever the other person, because there were two apartments above the liquor store. There was we really had everything. There was the liquor store, the pizzeria, and then the barber shop.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so we really didn't have to do anything, but the other apartment had the thermostat,
right?
And they set it at 72, and it was probably 95 in our apartment during the wintertime. I'm not kidding you. We had the windows open with the fans on in middle of a Buffalo winter.
Wow!
And we'd have him.
Yeah.
And we'd okay, but could you put the fan on low? It's getting a little bit cool in here. But oh yeah, it would be.
See, that's actually a problem in Texas with a lot of us. I own, you know, heavy jackets. I haven't worn them in a long time. But you'll go into office buildings, and if it gets below 50, or businesses, they'll turn the heat on full blast. I'm like, come on.
Well, that living in that apartment was really, I think, the biggest contributor to global warming of any one source in the history of the world.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, many times, thank goodness that they sold soft drinks. They had a small refrigerator also in the liquor store, and you could get bottled water down there and things like that. Otherwise, it would have been, because the pizzeria was more of a takeout. I think they might have just Coke or something like that. Otherwise, we would have been, it would have been pizza and vodka.
And... Are you saying that would be bad?
Well, I used to work for a living back then.
Okay, so here's my question. If the Soviets had gone with pizza and vodka.
Hey, you saw it.
Would socialism and communism, would it have been a success? 866-90-RED-EYE.
Did you see the story that pizza is healthier than cereal? To get into this, to get into our conversation yesterday from the guy who was telling us that we truly don't have a choice, because this goes back to playing the cut from
Bernie Sanders,
yeah, where he said that you know, standing in line for food was a good thing,
right?
Because there are countries where you just starve to death. So
right,
standing in line under a socialist system like the former Soviet Union, and this goes back to the 80s, so the Soviet Union still existed, so he was specifically talking about the Soviet Union.
Right.
So,
and by the way, he's not the one colluding with the Russians.
Well, as I've said, if you want somebody, I mean, think about the things that he said about Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And how he took the side of Cuba many times, Fidel Castro over the United States. If you want to be suspicious of someone, he's the guy that you should be suspicious of. But we had, you know, we were talking about the, you know, how Bernie Sanders had come out one time and said that there was, you know, there were too many choices of this is when he ran for this campaign in 2016, that there were too many choices. One of the problems we have is too many choices for deodorant. Then we got onto cereal. And then we got an email where a guy said, well, it's just an illusion. We really don't have a choice because you've got Madison Avenue that's marketing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to make the case that we're all just a bunch of clones walking around and being brainwashed by the commercials that we hear. And thought to myself, I feel sort of sorry for that guy. I really, really, you know, I really do. But I think that we should have many choices of pizza. I guess that's the point I'm getting to. That many choices of pizza should exist out there. Would Bernie Sanders come out against pineapple on pizza? Because that's just going too far. We don't need to have pineapple. And would he suggest that we have government intervention to stop any pineapple on pizza? If you're going to say that there's, and people are laughing out there, and it is funny when you think about it, but that's the road you go down when you practice or you believe in socialist insanity.
Well, then you're going to expand it to pure gluttony, right? I'm sure he would be campaigning against deep dish pizza.
Well,
can you do that as a Bernie Sanders in Chicago?
In order to become more socialist, would Chicago give up deep dish pizza?
Right.
86690 Red Eye.
Right. Because, you know, I've had deep dish. I prefer the foldable pizza. That's just my personal preference, but that's just a preference based on taste, right? Just based on taste and texture. For him, it's going to be about gluttony. See, only the rich would be able to afford deep dish with all those ingredients and such, and you're getting more than you need. See, they always say you have more than you need. You don't need that much. You don't need that much pizza.
Well, and then might he suggest that we go to pizza instead of all the different cereals in the cereal aisle, because that's also a problem, apparently indicated last night to us.
Right.
And just go to pizza, because as the survey came, or the study came out the other day, they believe that pizza is healthier than most cereals for breakfast.
Yeah.
Which really is going to make me feel great when I have that cold pizza in there and I wake up the next morning and it's like, I want pizza. I want pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do that with pizza and Chinese food. Yeah.
But it was a good day yesterday because, I was around the house all day because I had the yesterday, you know, they're prepping. They're going to be painting today. It's more outside trim. I had the homeowners association
tagging is what they call it, by the way, not painting. So just to let you know, they, if you're doing graffiti, it's called tagging.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. No, they're actually they're painting the trim. I live in a brick house, but there's a ton of trim. And the homeowners association came after. They didn't come after me. They sent me a friendly reminder that the back had a couple of panels on the back of my chimney.
The people that delivered the letter, were they wearing armbands?
No, it was
of any sort?
It was a postcard.
Okay.
I have the Ocasio-Cortez Homeowners Association.
Right.
And they're,
so you can't get Amazon deliveries?
They're already they're starting. They're already apparently they're starting the 10-year plan already.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
To everybody changing our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
No, I face there are no homes behind me, and so I face a pond that has a jogging trail, and so they're doing their normal spring inspection, and they found a small panel, and they said the back. Just a friendly reminder.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is here's $1,000 fine.
Yeah,
and I needed to do the chimney, and then after they did the after I got them out through the chimney, it was like, okay, why don't you stain this door, and then this part of the fence needs to be restained, and by the way, the frame back here, and all the trim in the house, can we do all the trim? And so it ended up being just one thing, and ended up being five. So they're out for 2 days. But it gave me a lot of time to do a ton of show prep because they woke me up. I only had 2 hours of sleep before they woke me up.
Right.
Normally I sleep 4 hours and 4 hours, but it was 2 hours, so they woke me up. And so I had nothing to do, so it was show prep all day. One of the first things I saw, I burst out laughing, was the story from the Babylon Bee, which is, again, like... It's like The Onion, but it's a Christian parody site.
Right, right, right.
And they have it. I burst out laughing when I saw it. And it was a story that CNN had hired Jussie Smollett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, the Babylon Bee is a
parody.
It's a parody,
right.
Website. It is intentional fake news. Not that the other stuff isn't always intentional.
Well, the thing that was hilarious was... I'm sorry. I didn't see that. I saw that story the day before. It was the update on the story that Snopes fact-checked the Babylon Bee.
Yeah.
Which just sent Twitter into an absolute insane couple of hours. They're a parody site.
Yeah.
And it goes through, Actor Jussie Smollett was offered a job at CNN. Rating, false.
You think?
And they go through the entire explanation.
Oh, my gosh. Snopes has got to know about the Babylon Bee.
They did. On February 18, 2019, the Babylon Bee website added their own fictional twist to the story when they published an article reporting that Smollett had been offered a job at CNN. The network, according to the Babylon Bee, was reportedly impressed with Smollett's ability to fabricate a story out of thin air. And then they go through what was said in the article, and then their conclusion, this was not a genuine news story. Although some readers mistook it for such, the Babylon Bee is a satirical website whose disclaimer notes that the Babylon Bee is your trusted source for Christian news satire. Well, funny thing is, when they say it's false, they report it as false. Well, actually, it's a parody, so
right,
you can't rate it as false because anybody who reads it knows that it's
false. Well, it's like saying a Hollywood movie is false.
SNL. Yes. Parody was false.
Right.
Has Snopes looked at SNL for its accuracy?
Well, what about Disney? Every Disney character. False. There's not a mouse that talks.
So that sent Twitter into a tizzy.
Mm-hmm.
By the afternoon, the Babylon Bee had a new headline.
Yeah.
And a new story. Snopes rates Babylon Bee the world's most accurate news source.
This is the great thing about that is that they can go down the road every time. By the way, we've kind of mentioned how both Babylon Bee and The Onion are, in some stories, they're more spot on than the so-called real journalists out there. We've said, if you want to find, they can just write The Onion, although they're very talented, and Babylon Bee, same thing, the writers, they're very talented people. If they post real stories, it would still be as funny. At times.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting to see. Because this is the ultimate in trolling.
Mm.
The ultimate.
Yeah.
is a Babylon Bee, hoping that Snopes comes out and rates that.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, sorry. Keep it going. Right.
The Babylon Bee said Snopes rates the Babylon Bee the world's most accurate news source. That is false. We did not do that because they are a parody website.
right. I love it because it is the, and Snopes, obviously, with the liberal lean, there's everybody already knows that. It at one time and still for some considered to be the go-to, right, to find out the truth. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the fact checkers. Well, now you got to fact check the fact checkers. Yeah. And who was it? Was it Real Clear Politics that has a new fact checking the fact checkers?
Yeah, they're fact checking the fact checkers.
They're doing it like full time now.
It's a tongue twister.
So. Right, yeah. They're doing it full time now, whereas it used to be only after, you know, a certain event or a certain comment made by a politician or president. Now they have a full time staff dedicated to it. That's how bad it's gotten.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Coming up here on the show, felony criminal charges approved against Jussie Smollett. We'll have that. Justice Department preparing. This is the headline. Justice Department preparing for Mueller report as early as next week.
Yeah.
What will happen if there's nothing there?
Well, you know, there was some speculation on that once again. In fact, I know, I don't know if it was Chris Saliza at CNN, but somebody mentioned on social media that CNN was someone at CNN, they didn't mention them specifically, was talking about that there well could be nothing. It could end up being, we really didn't find anything else. Here's, you know, based on the indictments so far, no further indictments, no further findings. End of story. That could be it.
Well, I already saw the Attorney General said, well, yeah, we're going to make sure we give a report to Congress, mm-hmm. but we are going to follow the rules and regulations, so if there wasn't an indictment, you won't get it. This was the message.
Right.
If there wasn't an indictment, there's nothing to tell you.
Right. And that's kind of, he didn't go that into detail in, you know, during the confirmation hearings, but he did say during those hearings that this being Barr, that the situation should be transparent. There should be as much transparency
exactly.
as possible,
right.
And that he supports, you know, a report and letting it out to the public to the fullest extent possible.
Right, fullest extent of the law.
But if there's nothing there.
Of what the law and the policy is,
right.
And the policy is, if you're not indicted.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there, so.
And the reason they created that policy is so that they couldn't use it politically if there was not an indictment.
How far do you go to hold the base together, if you're the Democrats, to hold the Democrat base that hates Trump, how far do you go before you start turning off independents when it comes out? And finally, after 2 years, they say, we have nothing on Trump. There's nothing there.
Right.
And they keep pushing it.
Mm. For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
The winter weather we saw move through sections of the Great Lakes and upper Midwest and mid-Atlantic yesterday is moving off to the north and east. In the overnight hours, we'll see the remnants of that snow and ice primarily limited to central PA, up through eastern New York, Connecticut, Vermont, and then on up through Maine. During the day today, that system will be winding down in those parts of the country. By Friday, that part of the system is offshore. What will linger, though, are showers in the south. Through the day today, we'll continue to see rain and potentially thunderstorms for eastern Texas, the Ark-La-Tex, over through Georgia and most of the Carolinas. You'll most likely avoid rain or snow through Oklahoma and Kansas. Portions of Nebraska will see some light snow as you move into the Four Corners region of the desert southwest. Heavy snow in the mountains, rain for southern Arizona and southern California. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
25 hours of reality every week. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Also coming up on the show, we'll tell you about the Thanks for Nothing AOC New York City billboard. I like that one. The LGBT group that cuts ties with Martina Navratilova.
Yeah.
Because she says biology dictates.
Mm-hmm.
What you are.
Well,
what a radical position from her.
Right.
The Supreme Court decision on asset forfeiture, that was really interesting, a 9-0 decision. This could have been, you know, we were talking about the Babylon Bee. This could have been a Babylon Bee or a Onion headline.
Right.
Al Gore says Governor Northam can atone for his blackface by opposing gas pipeline.
Wow.
Okay.
That makes up for it, huh?
By the way, we said that Monday, it would have been 2 weeks ago Monday, we said he's not resigning.
No,
and
no, no.
Now that is gone.
Yeah, it's all,
not
it's
even
all
talking, no,
yeah.
Nobody's even talking about it now. We've moved on. The news cycle moves extremely quick, and there is no pressure now for him or anybody else to resign.
Right.
Even the lieutenant governor. Have you heard anything?
No pressure for him to resign. I guess it now depends on where the allegations go against him and if that turns into a criminal case or not. And if it doesn't, I don't know where it goes because it would really have to go on until the next election cycle, right? I mean, if he doesn't step down, if there are charges against the lieutenant governor, then there would be a good chance of him stepping down. But if that doesn't happen and the allegations remain and nothing else, then it would be up to the voters.
Andrew McCabe, let's do criminal investigations based on our feelings.
That's right.
Not evidence, just on our feelings. Not on feelings based on evidence, just on our feelings.
Yes.
We feel, therefore we believe. You feel based on what, the evidence that exists? Well, no, we have no evidence. But we feel.
Yes.
We feel that they must have. We feel that he must have colluded.
Right.
How? Because our feelings tell us based on what evidence. We have no evidence. It's just our general feelings.
Right.
Thank you for some members of law enforcement who said, "Yeah, you guys are right on." There is no evidence.
Yeah, and I've talked
some
to,
response on this.
Yeah, I've talked to, in fact, a number of them over the weekend that I've known for many years, and you know, the one thing that kept coming up, and actually a couple of two or three different conversations was, I wouldn't be writing a book about this, but you know, one person just said, "Well, that's just me. I wouldn't be writing the book." I said, "Well, they throw you a $5 million front on the book. You're not going to write the book?" "No, because I know what I have to. I have to sell my soul to do it." And I thought, well, what if you believe everything that, you know, everything that you're going to put in the book? The problem is, you know, again.
No,
you know,
make
if you're
a
buying,
point.
If you're buying your own hype, do you believe you're selling your soul? Well, it's not if I believe it. It's whether or not it stands up. We always talk about the peer review in the science world.
Mm-hmm.
If it stands up with my peers, and so when if I were to look at a similar situation, this is somebody close to me, and that has plenty of experience, and they said if I were to look at the same situation, I would be looking at just what he knew from the. You know, what he had learned from the book so far and from the interview on 60 Minutes from McCabe. He says, it doesn't add up because I need a starting point. We start with a crime. We start with something, and you and I have been saying this. We start with something, instead of trying to prove something might be a crime, I would look at it from my perspective. I would look at it and say, look, this is a crime. I believe somebody committed a crime here, and then I would go from there. But if you're a McCabe, and I said, well, but McCabe is clearly buys the hype, and so did Comey. But it doesn't ring true. It doesn't sound right when you say it out loud. That's what one person said to me. If you put the pieces, the known items, based on just what this person knew, if you put the known items on the table, do you have something there?
During the Kavanaugh case, one of the things that you and I talked about was the fact that Americans might not know what the three branches of government are. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But one thing Americans have done, they've watched tons of shows on what? The criminal court system. Mm-hmm. They've watched tons of shows. Hundreds of millions of Americans have seen the shows that exist out there about how police and detectives actually go and when there's a crime committed, mm-hmm. how they go about solving that crime. We talked about in Kavanaugh that people in this country understand that there's a presumption of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And so I asked this question earlier. If it comes back from Mueller and there's just nothing there because there's no indictments and then it's over, how far do the Democrats go before independents start thinking over the next 2 years, this is overreach? When they look at a McCabe, and you and I have said the only reason that the left, they believe, has succeeded with the whole McCabe thing, they believe, I think, in extending the allegations against Trump is because they refuse to ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. If you refuse, but still, the truth has come out. And I think that any independent who looks at it, they would look at it and say, well, there's no crime. And McCabe, my God, McCabe actually was stating the fact that we had no intelligence that he did anything. We just feel by the way that he responded that we feel that we have to do an investigation on Trump based on a complete lack of evidence, but just based on his reactions. And we talked about yesterday and the day before that, well, if you actually look at Trump's reactions, if you look at the fact that what you're saying is Trump said, well, no, I want you to fire the FBI, the FBI director, and I want you to put in there in the memo that it's also because of Russia. And that's what gave us the clue that he must have colluded with the Russians, and therefore we must start an investigation now. And you and I said, well, no, just the opposite. If the president was trying to hide that he colluded with the Russians to hack the election, and you're the attorney general, you're the acting attorney general, and you're stating at that point that, he wasn't acting, he was still assistant deputy attorney general, but mm-hmm. not acting. But if you, at that point, you're saying, well, no, I believe we should fire him. Well, why? And you don't mention Russia. Well, then if I truly did collude with the Russians, the last thing I would want is to include Russia in there. The fact that he wanted Russia in that memo saying, this is one of the reasons that I wish to fire Comey, that would show me that this is a person who actually believes most likely that they're innocent. And they're furious because they believe they've been railroaded and it is a witch hunt. Because you would do the opposite. Yeah. You would sit there and say, oh, okay, so you can justify firing Comey and we never have to bring up Russia at all. Fine with me.
You saw a clapper talking during the day yesterday. A couple of things saying, oh, I agree with McCabe. He could be a Russian asset. Whether witting, and I'll add this caveat, whether witting or unwitting.
Yeah. Then we're all Russian assets.
Well, and one of the comments that he made, too, was during the day, and I'm not sure if it was the same appearance on CNN, but he said, James Clapper, a liar, who, about Trump, if you watch him around Putin, what in the world? He appears to be an asset. He acts like an asset. What?
Well, one of the greatest things I read, I can't remember who wrote it on social media yesterday, said, think about this. They're saying that Trump is a Russian asset.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He's the most powerful man in the world. Why mm-hmm. would he wish to be a Russian asset?
Right. To what benefit? To what benefit?
What's the benefit of him being a Russian asset?
So he can build a bunch of hotels in Russia. Okay. Because it's such a thriving economy.
Exactly.
That's the place to go. He can build hotels anywhere he wants. That will make a profit.
Well, that wouldn't even make sense.
No.
Because at that point, I'd want to be, if you want to look at, I'd want to be a Dubai asset.
Exactly. I want to go where they're spending a lot of money
right.
on hotel rooms.
I want to be a Dubai asset. Right.
One of the considerations actually was downtown Dallas for a Trump hotel.
Well, that'd be worse if he was a Texas asset.
Right. He works for Abbott. Governor Abbott. He's an Abbott asset. By the way, no truth to the rumor that that James Clapper and Jake Tapper are going to get together for a series on CNN called Tapper and Clapper. That's not going to happen. That is not true.
Tapper and Clapper.
But this is the language now, because you know where they're going. You know what this tells me? Is that the speculation around CNN, somebody's gotten a leak. Somebody's got somebody there at CNN, because you get Chris Cillizza, who, it was a few months ago, it was October, November, where he said, look, you know, there's a really good chance, you know, he was kind of leaning toward the idea of just a memo and no real indictments, maybe a couple of smaller indictments coming along, but no real big indictments related to Russian collusion. And then just the report, you know, from Mueller. So then today you have Clapper on, well, yesterday you have Clapper on CNN talking of and you also have the book coming out from McCabe, the 60 Minutes interview. And what did we hear? Well, it was Whitaker actually at the podium when they were talking about another case, but somebody asked him about the Mueller investigation when he was acting AG. And he said a couple of weeks ago, I'm confident that, you know, and hopeful that that it's going to wrap up here in the coming days, maybe within a month or so, or a few weeks or whatever he said, but it wasn't going to be long. And that speculation had grown, right? Then the report again yesterday that came out that said that sources say it could happen as early as next week, that it could all be wrapped up. Well, if you're at CNN and you pretty much know that there's nothing else going to come down, or you don't, at the very least, you don't expect any major indictments related to Russian collusion or anything else, this is where you go if you're a Clapper. This is where you go if you're a CNN. This is where you go if you're a McCabe. If you're a Trump hater, you're going to come out and you're going to say, oh, he could be a Russian asset. He could be a Russian asset, even if he doesn't know it. You make it up as you go along, because that's what the left does.
I would sit there and say, go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
And then let's look at the possibility of who might be a Russian asset. We'll do that coming up. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Seriously, I mean, the president could be a Russian asset. Okay, based on what? No evidence, just feelings.
Right.
Just feelings. There is in 1 ounce of evidence. If you're going to make that case of who might be a Russian asset, well, then we know, again, that the Hillary campaign and the DNC are the ones that paid the money that eventually got, you know, to the foreign British spy as they funneled it through the law firm and the opposition research firm. That got to a former British spy who got the information from the Russians.
Right.
That then was used to get a FISA warrant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want tie-ins to anybody who might be a Russian asset, James Comey.
Right.
Andrew McCabe.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are screaming that he might be a Russian asset, James Clapper.
Right.
John Brennan.
Right.
Anybody in the Obama administration that unmasked any of the conversations that were done by getting that FISA warrant that used the false, mostly false, unverified Russian dirt against Donald Trump. Anybody who listened to those conversations and unmasked them, all in the Obama administration, Russian asset, all the way up to the top, because the person who was in charge is always the one to blame. Former President Obama, Russian asset. Based on how they are judging that Trump might be a Russian asset, based on their definition of what makes Trump a Russian asset, then most of the people in high positions, including President Obama of the last administration, there is much more evidence that they were Russian assets.
And
someone tell me where I was wrong based on how the Democrats and those have judged.
And one in those groups, one of those members of that group actually supported officially a communist.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks for being here.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
And, of course, we get this email. One aspect of being a Russian asset I haven't heard you discuss, the concept of being an unwilling Russian asset. As, by the way, that, you know, is in essence what Clapper said.
Right.
I have a high-level military clearance, and one of the concerns security personnel have with those clearances is that someone could be blackmailed or otherwise coerced into cooperating with the foreign power against the United States.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons the feds investigate people who act in ways that don't match their expected behaviors is that they may be under someone else's manipulation. In Trump's case, if the dossier is to be believed, such stories as the salacious accusation could potentially be used to manipulate someone's behavior,
mm-hmm.
except they could never verify any of it. So what you're saying is rumor and conjecture means you start investigations. If that's the point, then there should have been, because it wasn't unwilling, there should have been an investigation into President Obama. There should have been a counterintelligence investigation into President Obama, because President Obama told the last president, Medvedev, that he would have much more flexibility after he gets elected,
mm-hmm.
and make sure you tell that to Putin. Well, that's more evidence of a willing asset to Russia than anything Trump has ever said.
Well, and it also bases, again, as you pointed out, it assumes that theory assumes that the dossier, the information in the dossier, is accurate. But for the sake of the argument, even if you assume that the salacious information that was in that dossier, then you really have to forget everything else in the history of the man that is Donald Trump. He's been married how many times, and all of these things that worked against him during that political season, 2016, and he was afraid of the dossier to the extent that Putin, he would become Putin's puppet?
Well, like I said then, even in response to this guy, you might be an unwilling Russian asset. Well, mm-hmm. let's go into that then.
Right.
And let's see if there's consistency of the FBI looking at the Obama administration as compared to Trump. And when you look at the fact that the dossier was used and it was paid opposition research,
mm-hmm.
and it was sold as intelligence in order to try to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 election and to destroy Donald Trump, and was used to get a secret FISA warrant, and was used by the highest levels of the FBI and the Department of Justice and our intelligence agencies, I think I'm a lot more worried that Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Brennan, Clapper, anyone who was involved in the unmasking, and all the way up to Obama, because remember, after 2012, and this is by the standard that the emailer and Clapper and Brennan have brought up, that by the and McCabe, by your standard of what makes somebody a Russian asset, there is 100 times more evidence that you have a dozen or more people in the Obama administration that were Russian assets by their definition of what defines a Russian asset. Right. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Right.
You can't.
Right. It's that information, what we know with the DNC and the Hillary campaign, and essentially through the opposition research firm and their lawyers firm, hired a foreign national to get information from the Russians. Nobody's disputing that.
And the emailer's point is, well, he talked highly of Putin. You do that in negotiations. You compliment people at times.
Well, I mean, Reagan was working with the Soviets.
Right. So what you're saying is if you cooperate with somebody, well, then fine. Then Obama, well, then we're
then, well, then every
right.
president would be, well, Obama, could be an unwilling asset of any
Obama was an
frenemy out there.
Obama then, by that definition, was a willing and unwilling mm-hmm. asset of the Iranians,
right.
the world's largest exporter of terrorism by that definition
right.
that the Democrats are using and those opposed to Trump are using to define him as a Russian asset.
Well, because this is the same line of thinking and logic that a conspiracy theorist or some populist out there would apply in many settings. Remember, well, the president must have something on Lindsey Graham. Well, the Iranians must have had something on President Obama.
Let's take your conspiracy theories and let's go further
right.
with it.
Right.
Let's take how you define what defines a Russian asset and apply it to others, not just one person. If you're going to apply it to one, apply it across the board. And when you do that, that's when your argument falls apart completely on Trump. It falls apart completely because there is more evidence that exists that the DNC, Hillary Clinton, the FBI, Strzok, Page, McCabe, Comey, Bruce Orr, Brennan, Clapper. I'm sure I'm missing some.
Right.
There's more evidence.
Bruce Orr's wife.
Mm-hmm. There's more evidence by the way that you define, by the way that they are defining on the other side,
mm-hmm.
what makes Trump a Russian asset. There's much more evidence. In fact, there's no evidence of Trump. There's just a feeling we actually have the evidence. You can connect the dots based on the definition that Democrats use. Then without question, you have so many members, over a dozen members of the Obama administration that we should be highly, very highly suspicious of being Russian assets. Much more than you could ever target Trump with.
And Brennan voted for a communist. It's hiding in plain sight.
It's hiding in plain right there.
Yeah.
You want it right there? Brennan's the biggest critic of Trump. He voted for a communist at one time. His hands are all over the unmasking.
Mm-hmm.
The unmasking that got, how do we get to the unmasking? How do we get to the fact of spying on the Trump campaign?
Right.
Getting a FISA warrant based on what? Bogus Russian propaganda that was paid for by the Democrats. You want Russian assets? Wow. Can we ever give you Russian assets? Now, you may not want to believe us, though, because the name of our show starts with Red.
Yes. We were going to go with Red State Radio, but... Yeah.
Initially, Red Steak, you know, like the steak, but then
yeah,
Peter right. was going to get upset at us for that.
Right, one. Yep.
Then we decided Red State, and then we said, no, probably.
Well, then again, you know, considering, you know, that Trump did use red hats to promote his campaign.
The red hats? Yep.
You know, even though they say, you know, make America great again, we all know that's a cover for make the Soviet a union again. I don't even know how that works.
I like that. Make the Soviet a union again.
Make the Soviets a union again. That's unionize. Oh, wait a minute. That's Bernie. That's what he's doing. Openly, by the way, promoting openly socialism. Brennan voting for a communist. Oh, no. Don't look over there. The DNC and Hillary actually ultimately getting the dossier from the Russians. Oh, no. Don't look over there.
Right. Getting the FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign based on false information coming from the Russians.
Right.
It was Russian assets that attempted to defeat Donald Trump.
Right.
And nobody is arguing, nobody is debating the actual facts of everything that happened.
Right.
No one.
Right.
And on Donald Trump, do you have any evidence? No. What is it? Our feelings.
Yeah.
Where's the media covering this? You know, the two idiots overnight, it's pretty clear to us. It's pretty clear to us based on how they define it, who the Russian assets, willing and or unwilling, that we have to worry about,
right,
correct?
Right.
Based on the definitions that those opposed to Donald Trump use against him, then the Obama administration, those formerly in charge of the FBI, got to still include some still in the Department of Justice.
Right.
All Russian assets, by the definition that we heard yesterday. Well, we heard from McCabe, how he defines it. Then you have to say, okay, who else fits that definition? His is strictly based on feelings of Trump. There's no evidence at all. He's admitted it. Well, no intelligence, no evidence, nothing. It's just his feelings by how Trump talks.
What about the former Secretary of State who just in the it was in the final days, because it was like the first or second weekend in January, but the final days of the Obama administration of 2017, where she was talking about Syria and the Russians. And, you know, remember, the former administration wasn't forward with the American people. They lied about the Russians cooperating and helping put in pressure on Assad and chemical weapons and that whole scenario.
They lied about that.
They lied about it repeatedly.
Yes. You want Russian assets? That goes right to the State Department and President Obama. They lied about what the Russians were doing in Syria. You want Russian assets? Do we keep going all day with this?
You could easily. By their logic, you could throw it right in. And a much, much greater level of integrity than anything they've got on Trump.
And before you go to sleep tonight, you better examine yourself, and you better think very hard whether you yourself are a Russian asset.
Right.
Are you a Russian asset?
Right.
Contemplate that thought.
Do you know anyone named Dmitry?
Yes.
Do you support any Russian hockey player?
Ah, now we can have a conversation. You find yourself rooting for that blonde Russian boxer in that one Rocky movie?
I was wondering, where's he going?
Do you find yourself rooting for him instead of Rocky? Huh? It's the insanity. It honestly, of the actual facts don't matter, and the fantasy is all that matters.
Former gymnast, I believe it's Bart Connor, who married Nadia Comaneci.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, he's definitely a Russian asset.
Is he a Russian asset?
We don't even have to talk about her. She clearly is.
Oh, she was. Yeah,
she was a Russian asset. I mean, she was an asset to Russians.
She was an asset to Russians.
You know, she was. spy, probably not.
And then he would say in a good way.
No, a true asset to the Russians. Yeah.
All right. Have we gone far enough?
I think we've pretty much destroyed the logic, but
okay.
We'll try again next segment.
All right. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on driver wellness. Maintaining a healthy diet while on the road requires a strong commitment. Instead of raiding the truck stop's junk food section, consider some of these options to maintain a healthier style of eating. Bring a portable cooler or refrigerator in the truck and power it with a 12-volt outlet. Another option to bring along is a mini slow cooker to make meals while you drive. Stock your cab with healthy eating options. Fruits and veggies like apples, oranges, or carrots. Mixed nuts or whole grain crackers are healthier options than chips. To quench your thirst, ditch the drinks loaded with sugar and instead grab some water, tea, or unsweetened coffee. Eating healthy on the road isn't easy, but it can be done. Good luck! This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Cronin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
What Jussie Smollett will be charged with, and interesting, we'll talk about this coming up in the bottom of the hour, and one columnist, I'm sure there's more than one, but I just read one columnist in Chicago talking about the fact that how many murders do we have here, and they're told, you know, I read 20. He's talking about two dozen detectives on that Jussie Smollett case, with all the murders and everything else going on, all the resources and assets that were used. So we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. Let's go to Roger in Glenwood, Minnesota. Roger, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi, Roger.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking me on the call here.
You're welcome.
You bet.
Yeah, I was just curious about, you know, you guys were talking about the communism, the far-left Democrats going on and on pointing the finger. Are we going back into McCarthyism again?
What makes you think that?
Well, the reason why is because they're always pointing the fingers at everybody and trying to destroy
the difference between the McCarthyism era and what we deal with today. I'm not saying that there isn't a group mindset that doesn't exist that would have no problem if we went back to that. But the fact is, you don't have the communist threat today the way that it existed in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist to that level when it was really such a new thing. I remember it as a child in the early 60s, mm-hmm. the thought process of going to sleep every day. And you even knew. I remember going to sleep as a 7 or 8 year old, which would have been 63 or 64. And thinking to myself as I went to sleep at night, wow, we could all be incinerated. Mm-hmm. And you had those thoughts as an 8-year-old child because of the ability of the Soviet Union to come after us and we to go after them with thermonuclear weapons. So we're in a different time here. There are two sides to everything.
And on top
there
of
are
that,
there's not two sides. There's 3 or 4 sides. Mm-hmm. With a mindset that are continually fighting in the United States, which is the way that it should be. I'm not saying that there aren't people that would be okay with McCarthy tactics.
Mm. Yeah. Well, this is different in that it is it happens to be Russia. We point out Iran or any foreign, whether they're an enemy or frenemy or any other nation influence on America during an election process or on any given politician. When you talk about that, there it's separate from the socialism and communism discussion of the past. Today you have plenty of Americans who embrace socialism, so you don't have the same drive. it would be more toward the foreign influence, although these are the same people today. They'll tell you they're worried about foreign influence, and they go around the world apologizing for America being America. Yeah. I don't know how to consolidate those two, mindsets in one person, but they do exist on the left with plenty of them. When it comes down to the discussion, though, it really is about foreign influence. Bernie embracing socialism, he's been doing that for a long, long time, and there are a lot of people that agree with him. You would have people out there that don't have a problem with communism. Plenty of them. They hail. Remember, with Cuba, we need to be more like Cuba when Carter got back from Cuba one time, right?
They've got the goods. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. If you miss a show or part of a show, you can always go back later in the day and podcast. We do podcast this program. If you want to share it with others, please do that. I've been listening to the show. Check it out. You can also share the link. All of it can be found at redeyeradioshow.com. We've got a new addition to the podcast family, and it's the Extra Mile podcast. I sit down with people from the trucking industry, a number of experts and people from all over the trucking industry, in fact, talking about many issues that the drivers face. So we've got some upcoming podcasts that deal with fuel taxes and tolling, interstates, and everything else that's right now in the wings and going to be released very soon. So make sure you check it out, the Extra Mile podcast and the Red Eye Radio daily podcast, available at redeyeradioshow.com. Keyword podcast.
My, how a story evolves. Authority in Chicago yesterday approved felony criminal charges against Empire actor Jussie Smollett hours after he was officially classified as a suspect in the criminal investigation for allegedly filing a false police report in connection with his January 29th attack claims, police said. An update in the case was provided by the department's chief of communications officer, who said the Cook County State Attorney's Office approved the disorderly conduct filing a false police report charge. Detectives will make contact with his legal team to negotiate a reasonable surrender for his arrest. This thing blew up a few weeks back. Well, it was almost 3 weeks ago when this thing just blew up when he made those charges. Mm-hmm. And I remember that we really didn't. It was a busy week that week. I mean, the shutdown or the possible the shutdown and everything else was just huge news. And I remember it was at the end of the week that we brought it up. I think at the beginning of the show, we said, look, we need to talk about this. I said, but one of the things you need to know is whenever there's a criminal investigation out there, especially when something is high profile like this, we wait for the evidence to come in. Now, we know, I mean, this is what the media, for example, in Chicago is saying. These are the different source stories out there. And here's how, here's how we view it from an investigator standpoint, not a political standpoint, because that's how we always look at it. Well, we were immediately hit by the liberal trolls out there stating that we were taking the side against Jussie Smollett, and we weren't, because we didn't know. We said, we're not taking any side. We're saying these are what these sources are stating, and the accusations that were made against us were ridiculous, because the accusations that were made that we didn't take into consideration other things, and the things that they pointed out, we did take into consideration with. It's if they weren't even listening to our, to our show. So we know that there was immediately, when that happens to us, we know that there is a coordinated effort out there to support the narrative that, Trump supporters are racist and will commit hate crimes. And we've been talking about this since the very beginning. we way back when and whenever it happened would talk about after these cases, somebody would claim a hate crime against Trump people, and we found out later on that they were, you know, that it was a hoax, that it didn't happen. They were saying something that was false. And then we went through the Brett Kavanaugh debacle. We went through the Covington students, and now this. And it really does seem like when you go over, and I went over all the, there's probably at least, you know, 20, 25 different hoaxes or things that have happened over the last 2 years. But it seems recently, you know, you look at the Kavanaugh thing and you look at the Covington thing, it's almost as if right when something dies down in the public's mind, another charge comes out that Trump supporters did something and acted unreasonable, were bullying, were racist, whatever. And they all seem to fall apart at the end. And I really wonder, again, I don't know Jussie Smollett. I don't know why individuals do it. I don't know that Phillips was his name, I guess. Mm. I don't know why people do what adults do, what they do. I can't tell you what their motivation is. But I know in the Jussie Smollett case, it seems to be enough evidence that this is a man who was just full of just insane hate. Yeah. If you look at some of the previous tweets that he had put out, but when you see the preparation behind this, because I don't think, and we were thinking about this in the beginning. Wow. How could this happen? Especially when they came up with the two suspects. Okay, could this really have happened? That all the cameras saw nothing, and in that 60-second period, these people that were on out of camera range only within a 60-second, under 60-second time limit, could accomplish all of this. And how would they know? These are the questions, and we ask the questions like any investigators would. How would they know? It was a very cold night. People were bundled up. How would you know it was him? Were they stalking him?
Right.
And if they were stalking him, why did they pick out him? And because that is a legit question you would ask as an investigator. He got this hate mail. The
right.
hate mail came in. There was a powder. So were these people stalking him? Were they neighbors of him? Did they know him? Did they live in his building? These are all the questions that you started asking. And then when they showed the two people of interest, you were wondering, okay, what happened at that point? And slowly but surely, his story completely fell apart. And then when they interviewed the brothers at that point, when they came back from Nigeria, as we said last Thursday, they're going to know whether it's a hoax within, 24 to 48 hours. And it was less than probably 12 after we were off the air where, they let them go and we went, oh, boy, if they let them go,
right.
When they arrested them and didn't charge them, we said, OK, that's the pressures being put on. Police are going in a certain direction. And it's either they believe that they committed an act, but they didn't file a charge. So there's also a great possibility, since they didn't file a charge, they arrested them because they wanted to put pressure on them in order to get them to tell the truth, what actually happened here.
Yeah.
The only thing that I've seen so far, I mean, there's a few stragglers saying, well, you can't trust the police anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen much. I stand with Jussie lately.
One of the actresses from the show actually is standing by him still. And so, fine, that's great. But as they go through the case here, his attorney saying, they will have, obviously a vigorous defense. They're going to be very aggressive in defending their client. As any lawyer, you would expect them to say that. If they don't say that, I would suggest to him that he fire them and hire another lawyer or another law firm. But that's what you always hear. What it comes down to is, and with the presumption of innocence, that is applied to anyone who is arrested, you start looking at the pieces of the puzzle up until now. What really got our attention is the fact that you had at least one reporter in the Chicago area that was on this story early about it possibly being a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, look, that's not a small thing. Think about where we are, 2019. You've got an openly gay African American who was saying that he was attacked by pro-Trump supporters in a very heinous fashion.
What you need to throw white in there because that's what creates
part of the
tension.
So if you're the news director at that local station and a reporter comes in and says, hey, my sources at Chicago PD say this is not looking right. This is falling apart, and they believe maybe it's not real. That news director is going to have to make a decision on whether to go with that or not, because the liability issue that comes with that is not just from Smollett. It's also from other activist groups that would also target that TV station. And 20th Century Fox, a major production studio that makes that TV show, because they would say, you damaged us because one of our stars was damaged by your false report. That's the kind of liability that's on the shoulders. I'm not saying they don't make mistakes. They do. They absolutely make mistakes. I think we've seen that, especially over the last 2 years, that some of those mistakes and lies in the media in general, I'm not saying with any of these given reporters, but reporters and newsrooms get things wrong all the time. The point is that with something like this, the weight of the modern world would come at them, and it would be a heavy price to pay. No, that's why that caught our attention.
But you make a great point. You know, we've talked about source stories before and how they end up, you know, being wrong. We talked about the source story in the New York Times, you know, about Trump and Whitaker and whether Trump tried to put pressure on him to get another investigator on, you know, the whole Cohen thing.
Right.
And both denied that it ever happened. And we said, well, where does the story go unless you get the sources to testify or to come forward? That story dies because both parties have said that it's not true. But we have looked at source stories that have failed for the media. And you and I remember when Brett Baer came out and said, Brett Baer before the election, and said his sources tell him that Hillary's going to be indicted.
Right.
And we said that time, we said, man, he better be right because he's
going to... And that the indictments were coming down within a few days of that report.
Right. And we said, he better be right because if he's not right, this destroys temporarily. He still has a good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, this will really hurt his credibility.
Right.
Because in Brett Baer, somebody who has credibility. Mm-hmm. Well, it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And you and I stated that when we read the story, we said he better be right because we had talked about source stories and how many times that they have been wrong. You see here in a situation where everybody is working on source stories, everyone.
Right, right.
And they were right.
Yeah. And it's different, too, that someone like a Hillary Clinton and now Donald Trump, because he's been president for a couple of years, these are public servants, okay? And it is different. When you consider the damage that is done to them, if you're saying, well, this could be, now you can't say this person, we believe this person committed murder, right? Or something like that in a very specific act. They can get a lot of things wrong about public servants and politicians. If you're in a newsroom and you're basically saying that, a high profile actor is lying, you're getting to you're inching closer to that slander and that liability that comes with it.
But I guess that's the point where I was going.
Yeah.
There, when I ran a news department, I always told them we can never be wrong on source stories. I guarantee that was the mentality of those reporters in Chicago on this story.
Yep.
We can't be wrong.
Right.
We absolutely cannot be wrong with this. Your sources in the police department better be accurate, because if they're not, we're screwed.
Right. Right.
Is that same intensity done with the mainstream media when it comes to reporting on Donald Trump?
No.
There has to be, in journalism, that intensity that you, I'm sure, existed in those newsrooms in Chicago to get that story right.
Yes.
And make sure if we're using a source story, we better be right. Because we cannot be wrong on that one.
Yeah.
that same passion has to be held on every source story.
Yes.
Irrespective of whether you like the politician or don't like the politician. And you and I both know that it doesn't exist.
And Brett Hume, by the way, there was a story that he wrote and on Fox News for FoxNews.com about the whole thing with Kamala Harris and going shopping. He says, if you're a journalist, you're not part of the event. If there's an event, you cover it. You don't make yourself part of the event.
Man.
That used to be the standard. Not anymore. When it comes to journalism, I don't know where that standard exists for true reporting anymore.
You want pure bias. That Harris shopping spree was the ultimate.
Over the top.
Over the top. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
All right, so Mark Garagos is his attorney.
All right.
So I have to ask this question because there are thoughts in my mind spinning around right now.
All right.
A vigorous defense of his client, which means you have to do what? You have to go and attack what right now is, because I don't know what forensic evidence that they have.
Right, right.
All I know is the two witnesses that the prosecution will use against Jussie Smollett, the two Nigerian brothers. So you have to go after them to discredit them. What will be the story that Garagos, and you know he loves using the media.
Oh, sure.
What claim will he make against the brothers to destroy their credibility?
Great question. And I started to wonder that this evening when you know it came down officially. What is going to be the defense, but really what is the narrative going to be in the media?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Well, as we saw, the district attorney has approved the charges against Jussie Smollett, and you and I were just talking about, and this would be for filing a false report. We still don't know about whether there would be any federal charges for that letter.
Right.
And by the way, you were right the other day when you talked about, I saw it all yesterday, all the, you know, the postmarks and everything else. So it it was sent through the mail. So at that point, you do have another criminal charge. And I was looking at yesterday, you can get up to 5 years in prison.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you send it to yourself either. It doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
Just talking about the legal case, and, you know, we like to do this once in a while. We put on our political hats, and even when it's a Democrat, say, if we were a political consultant, what would we say to this Democrat? Well, if we know that Mark Garagos is the lawyer for Jussie Smollett, and you know he knows how to use the media, and you know he says it's going to be a vigorous defense.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some of his siblings out there stating that it's the media's fault, the media. And I'm like, you can't use that. That's going nowhere.
Right. Yeah.
You can't say the media, because the media was right as to what the police department were saying. So, is Garagos going to try to, if he says, again, a vigorous defense, if they don't say, look, we've got nothing here, they've got the forensics, they've got everything, they've got the timeline, they've got your phone calls, they've got your bank records, they have $3,500 deducted from the account today and $3,500 that the brothers got. and so you can't win this. If he believes he can win it, or if he believes he's going to go down the route of not making a deal but trying to defend Jussie Smollett, the only thing that I can see him doing is going after the brothers. And going after the brothers by stating something like, they were the brains behind this. Look, they're the ones that are getting everything. Look at them. Look at the store video. They're the ones that are in charge. They made the letter at their house.
Mm-hmm.
If it ends up being that the letter, the letter that was written with the powder, whether they found the Tylenol or any residue in that apartment, the magazine where they cut out apparently the actual letters to use, in the threatening letter. If they find it all there, will Garagos try to make the point that it was the brothers who were behind it? And you're saying, wait a minute, how can you make that? How can you do that? Well, the brothers themselves came out the other day and said, we're not anti-Trump. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not anti-Trump, then you're pro-Trump. There is no gray area, in culture today. Well, we're not anti-Trump. That means you're pro-Trump. At least for the benefit of my defense of my client, you say you're anti-Trump. That must mean you're pro-Trump. So you were actually the pro-Trump people, and you were trying to set up my client because you were jealous of his success. Or I would not be surprised if he defended him. I don't know where else he goes except attacking the brothers.
Yeah, but then it gets into the other forensics, which would also include possibly, and there was word late Wednesday that there was a warrant to get some of the financial records for Smollett.
Yes.
If they can find, the brothers are going to claiming they were paid $3,500, or the reports say that the brothers were claiming they were paid $3,500 to do this. If you find in that timeline a movement in his bank account, where he withdrew that money and then gave it to them, and then they put it into their bank account a day or two later,
You can't make that case
then,
anymore.
And the forensics really tells the story. If you've got two dozen officers, detectives on this case, because the first few days as this story was growing, the original version of the story, that the attack took place and the allegations of the attack. The police were being criticized by people who were supporting Smollett, saying they're not doing enough. Why don't they catch the people? Why aren't they doing more to catch the people? And so there was a lot of pressure on those detectives and on the police department in general to find the people responsible. And when the news stories locally started to come out, we said, well, the police work will tell us, and will tell us very soon, because the pressure is to find whoever is responsible, whether this is a hoax or whether it's true. The pressure is on. And if you have that many working on this case, then it's going to be hard to battle against the forensics involved, especially given the list of items that were reportedly taken out of the two brothers' apartment. When you get into that, it's hard to combat that situation.
Oh, it is. I'm just stating, if he decides that the forensic evidence isn't there and decides to defend him, my question is just where would he go? The only place it seems you would go is to try to destroy the credibility of the brothers.
Well, and he would only do that after discovery, the attorney, because if through discovery, he's going to get all of this evidence, and if he sees this mountain of evidence and it's clear that there's really no way to defend his client, it'll kind of go quiet and then they'll just kind of make it go away. But, something else will come up in the news cycle, and that's what you'll hope for.
Remember, these TV defense attorneys, you never know what angle they will try, though. That's why I'm sitting in the back of my head going, okay,
right,
going to do a vigorous defense. You're going to see him on TV sooner or later. He's going to start making the rounds because that's what Garagos does. And so he knows that his whole point is to try to get public. One of his goals is to get public opinion on his side. You know that there are still the stragglers hanging on, stating, we stand with Jussie still, and you know his family. Well, it's all the media's fault. The media's fault. That really doesn't hold water. The problem is that the story fell apart so quickly that you really don't have much defense even on the liberal TV networks right now. There really seem to be much compassion and or not much, I won't say compassion, that would be the wrong word to use. There doesn't seem to be much belief in his story anymore, even from the liberal media, and also even in the liberal media, mainstream media, whatever you want to call it right now. There is that thought, we got burned once, are we going to get burned again? Are we going to support somebody after we supported them and got burned once? Mm. Can we get burned twice on a story like this and get burned big time when all the warning flares have been set up?
Right.
And that's, I believe, the problem that Garagos faces right now, is there isn't probably that much of a friendly media out there willing to buy what he would attempt to sell.
Yeah, and I think that's it too, is that this really lies on his attorney's shoulders. They're the ones that have to go out there and even if there's evidence, they may try and discredit the evidence, how the evidence was obtained. They may have a challenge there on a number of items, but often in discovery, you learn there's no way out here, and it's best that you don't do any further damage to your client, given the fact that he's hoping to remain in the public eye, hoping to keep his job as an actor. How much further damage do you want to do if that evidence is too overwhelming?
Article, John Cass in the Chicago Tribune, talking about the politicians. The headline is, politicians use Jussie Smollett while a one-year-old boy shot in the head is set aside. Mm-hmm. And talking about the fact that at least 20 detectives were on this is what he is being told.
Yeah.
20 detectives. And he said that seems to be a little bit of overkill for something that is a hate crime where nobody is killed. He said, but he heard two dozen, then he said the number he was given was 20 detectives. He said that's still high given all the homicides that are never solved.
Okay.
Chicago has an abysmal homicide clearance rate of 17%. Chicago's detective ranks have been decimated by attrition and idiotic short-sightedness. There aren't enough detectives. That's an issue in the mayoral campaign. Thousands of people have been murdered in Chicago over the past few years, and thousands more have been shot and survived. They're alive because of the wonders of the trauma center technology and the brilliance of ER doctors. Even so, the city is numb to physical violence on the street and numb to the emotional violence exerted by the political class. But two dozen detectives for the Smollett case doesn't seem right. Make no mistake, I'm not blaming the detectives or even the Chicago Police Department. They work for a politician. His name is Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who famously announced a few years ago that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. But when Smollett told his amazing story about being a black gay man attacked by racist Trump supporters on one of the coldest nights of the years, the media was all over it. National politicians were all over it. They bought it without question. This was an attempted modern-day lynching, tweeted Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris. No one should ever have to fear for their life being because of their sexuality or the color of their skin. We must confront this hate. He talks about what Cory Booker said, what other Democrats said, that CNN and many who earn livings in the media echo chamber rushed to judgment. So did a few in Chicago, but Chicago reporters had a more healthy skepticism than their national counterparts, which they did, which they didn't give them credit for it because they were doing it on source stories, and they probably took a lot of flack for it. And it just goes on and talk about the politics behind it, that something like this happens, a perceived hate crime, and 20 detectives are on it, and how many people are murdered in the city of Chicago. And this was the ultimate priority
right.
that had to be handled. I will say this, though. One of the things that you're concerned about if you're in government is violence and riots over something like this.
Sure. And you know, that's what I was alluding to when I mentioned that there was a lot of pressure, and that was that pressure was building for the police to find the people responsible. And it is because it is assumed, or the narrative quickly becomes, that they're not doing anything. They don't care enough to do anything. So, as such, often PDs are pressured to, overcompensate for something like that, to make sure that they can demonstrate, at least to the community and to the public in general, that they are doing something and that they're putting a lot of resources into it. And it's, you know, this entire situation, especially for a city like Chicago, when you look at, and as you just pointed out, Gary, the murder rate and then the clearances on those murder rates, bringing people to justice is a struggle every single day. And somebody's, and I mean, this is a pretty grand scheme. This is, if you think about going through the planning of something like this.
It's unbelievable. If you would have, if anybody would have made that accusation, you could have made the accusation that he made it up, that it didn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
But once you got to the point of stating, okay, these are the two persons of interest, and all of a sudden when we first heard those two persons of interest now, are being questioned by the police. And I'm talking about early on.
Right.
At that point, you just went, well, I mean, nobody's going to go through all of that. Mm. Nobody's actually going to rehearse.
Right. I mean, it's extensive planning, because you need to make it look real. Again, the claim wasn't, and who knows what their intention was immediately. And planning something like this, it could have been early on, well, I'll just talk about it on social media and we won't go to the cops with it. We won't bother doing that. But you crossed a line when you filed a false police report, according to the charges. Well, that becomes something very different. But then think of everything else. The money that was paid, if it's true that the letter was part of the entire hoax, all of that, this entire staging of this,
it's unbelievable,
was a major production.
And
again, it's not just a claim that, hey, I've been targeted because I'm gay, or hey, I've been targeted because I'm black, or hey, I've been targeted by people who support Trump. Not a simple claim. You went out of your way to make it look real.
Well, was it James Woods you said on Twitter that made the case that he would have been all right if two people would have been arrested and convicted of doing this, or would have been arrested and they were completely and totally innocent?
If two people were arrested for doing this and they went to jail, they were convicted and went to jail for doing this, and then years later you find out, oh, they were innocent. Can you imagine? I mean, that this was the potential here. That's the potential when you plan something this big. I just don't know that mindset. I really, it's just strange to me that somebody would wake up one day with an idea like this.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. One thing I saw on social media were people screaming, what, no hate crime?
Right.
No approved hate crime?
Right.
This isn't a hate crime. You know, this, you know, he made the allegation that these were white people who did this. And he went through all the hateful speech that they didn't say. You know, we've talked about this before. And again, I'm not somebody, I don't believe you should get extra time for hate. I mean, is hate worse than greed? Is it worse than jealousy or envy? I don't know. I think that the seriousness of the crime is what should give you the majority of the actual jail time and punishment. So I've never been a hate crimes person to begin with. But if you're going to promote hate crimes, where are you? Why isn't the left screaming? If it's a left that has promoted hate crimes more than any other demographic, well, where are you out there screaming that hate crime? That a hate crime should be charged with, you know, to Jussie Smollett.
Hmm. And I wonder if there's any consideration or if we'll hear anything from prosecutors in that regard, or at least alluding to it and making a statement to say that, you know, again, describe the seriousness of this, you know, alleged hoax. Here's your forecast.
The winter weather we saw move through sections of the Great Lakes and upper Midwest and Mid-Atlantic yesterday is moving off to the north and east. In the overnight hours, we'll see the remnants of that snow and ice primarily limited to central PA up through eastern New York, Connecticut, Vermont, and then on up through Maine. During the day today, that system will be winding down in those parts of the country. By Friday, that part of the system is offshore. What will linger, though, are showers in the south. Through the day today, we'll continue to see rain and potentially thunderstorms for eastern Texas, the Ark-La-Tex, over through Georgia and most of the Carolinas. You'll most likely avoid rain or snow through Oklahoma and Kansas. Portions of Nebraska will see some light snow as you move into the Four Corners region of the desert southwest. Heavy snow in the mountains, rain for southern Arizona and southern California. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Right Wing Machine, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Every time I hear machine, I just think Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah. So we're not raging. We're not a machine.
No, we're not a machine. We're not.
Yeah.
As Ms. Logan said, I am not owned by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting, isn't it? Her coming out and stating that. Well, I mean, it's the obvious. I mean, if I don't know, did anybody debate? Did anybody debate and say what she says is wrong? Or is it now? Now, when Bernard Goldberg came out and wrote the book Bias,
right? Yeah.
I mean, there was an outrage. Yeah. I'll never forget when Goldberg said that, you know, when he brought up his bias to Dan Rather said, well, you know, basically that he served this country, that he was in the military. And he goes, well, what does that have to do with anything?
Right.
That's if you're biased. And now that the former CBS reporter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lara Logan came out and stated that vast majority of the media is on the left. I mean, it's gotten a lot of publicity, but as you've noticed, nobody is stating, no, we're fair and unbiased. Is that gone now? I haven't heard the outrage at, no, how dare you say that, where the outrage would have been much greater 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Now it's sort of like, no, we're proud. That's what we are. We're all biased. Even our fact-checking is biased now. Our fact-checking isn't fact-checking anymore.
I think they are proud of it. I really do. I think we go back to the BuzzFeed editor saying, this is how we see our reporters. And at that time, it was early 2017 and beyond. I mean, this is from here on. That's going to be the job of the reporter. See, remember when Walter Cronkite, after he retired, for those under the age of 175, Walter Cronkite
was pre-Dan Rather.
Yeah, right. He was the Dan Rather of our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents.
He was the news anchor during Thomas Edison's life.
Yeah, right. Before television. People watched him. He's so old, people watched him on TV before TV. But he used to sit around and smoke listening to Snoop Dogg. But the whole idea of breaking it down, saying, well, yeah, I was biased, but we believed we were right. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the essential comment, because they believe they're bringing justice. They're bringing light to something, but it becomes something different. I could have, if he were still around, a conversation with Walter Cronkite about the things that he reported on during the times that he reported, right?
Mm-hmm.
The civil rights era, the assassination of a president, the assassination, in fact, a few different assassinations of key figures in American history, and you could talk. I could have a lot of questions that I would love to just sit and let him answer, right? Because it's a different perspective. The mindset today is different. The far left wants this to be the civil rights era all over again. But actually, what they promote would lead to the end of protection for, well, protected groups. We talked about this recently. The whole identity thing. If you or anybody can claim to be a part of a protected group, a protected class, simply by saying it, and there can be no burden on you, and you get to belong to that protected class simply by saying it, then there are no protected classes. It's very different than the actual civil rights era. I'm not saying it was right for anyone to be biased back then, but I would love to have the conversation with a Walter Cronkite in a 2019. I would love to see his response to some of the activity that we see out there and some of the so-called journalism. It's not journalism anymore at all. I have a great respect for journalism, true journalism, and bringing to light the wrongdoings of others, high-profile individuals, public servants, and anyone who may have an impact on our lives on a daily basis. That, to me, is certainly a noble effort when it is done without bias, when it is done in the spirit of finding the full truth. And it's been done in the past. I think people are capable of doing it. Some of the people that are out there working for news agencies right now are fully capable of doing it. But for whatever reason, they choose not to do that. They choose to be an activist.
Look, everybody knows that you and I are conservative libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody knows our political bias, but we get it all the time, especially when we look at different cases. Let's look at it as an investigator. People say, even though I know you're biased, you did make points on both sides. You sat there. Well, of course we do, because that an investigation to us, a lot of times, most of the time, investigations are not about politics. It's the evidence that actually exists. Mm-hmm. That I can sit there and be for low tax. I can be for low taxes and still look at the allegations against Trump and say, is there specific evidence there? Am I looking at both sides? Is there evidence? What is the evidence that exists out there, as we did earlier in the show?
Mm-hmm.
And so people appreciate that. So it doesn't mean that you can't have a bias and still have integrity in reporting. That's one thing that I disagree with. Well, people should never know. If people know your politics at all, then they'll never view you as being fair. That's not necessarily true.
Alan Dershowitz, while he's not a journalist, but I think he's somebody that fits in the category of, I know his bias. I know that he's not someone who supports the president, but the points he makes on law and the Constitution, I think, are extremely solid and right on point.
You had mentioned earlier, Walter Cronkite, mm-hmm. and I got to meet Walter Cronkite, as we've talked about before, and you've mentioned, you know, he came out and said, "Look, it wasn't as blatant as it was today, but of course, you know, we were left. You know, we were more left, and it was in our reporting." And he said that, and I met him, and he has sort of said the same thing. And it was funny because he had come out about him before I met him. And I met him in Portland, Oregon a few years back. And knowing that, I was like, should I really go? You know, I'm a talk show host. Or should I really go to this? And I don't want to confront him. He was an old man by that time. And my girlfriend wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to go. So we got to go. You can go see Walter Cronkite in a small, intimate setting. I mean, we're just, it was a get together, probably 100 people. But then afterwards, it was just 10 of us.
Right.
Just hanging up sort of on this rooftop bar, just talking about everything. And so I'm actually glad that I did it. But he admitted, and because you see the meme all the time that is on Facebook, that he wasn't biased at all. And every time I see that, I'm like, well, no, he admitted that he actually was biased and biased in his reporting.
Mm-hmm.
I also think about one of the most strangest things. When I worked for Freedom 970 carries us in Portland, and I used to work for their sister station KXL, and they used to put on this speaker series. And so when the speaker series would happen, they'd have one of the personalities go and introduce it. Well, the late populist liberal Molly Ivins from Texas was speaking there, and they said, "Well, Gary, you're the new guy. You have to go introduce her." And I'm like, "I can't introduce Molly Ivins.
Right.
What are you doing? They moved me off the stage. I'm a conservative talk show host. It doesn't fit." They go, "We got nobody else to do it." Yeah. So I did it and even admitted it. And she got the biggest kick out of it. She really did.
That
she's being introduced by a conservative talk show host. But it was something that we sponsored. And so those are some of the uncomfortable things that you have to do. But I didn't want, but going back to the Cronkite thing, it was like, I don't want to get into it. And I know myself, especially my younger self, because this goes back 22, 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. And my younger self, today I'd have no problem doing it. I can keep my mouth shut in certain situations. Back then I wasn't so sure of myself. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It was an open bar, and I didn't have a drink.
Well,
that's how much I didn't trust myself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a solid point. Wow.
I'm not going to.
Hey, we found somebody. We found an Irishman who didn't drink. I look forward to your emails.
Well, I could just see the headline. Mm-hmm. Gary McNamara screams at an elderly Walter Cronkite.
Right. With a beer in his hand.
With a beer in his hand.
And another thing.
It was actually a great, a really good conversation.
The only thing I think I can, for the most part, speak for you on this, but certainly as a part of this program, the only thing that we have asked for is the intellectual honesty. The debate on the issues is always great, back and forth. The intellectual honesty. You and I were talking off the air about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She wrote a majority opinion today, and we're going to talk more about that here, about the whole seizure of assets and everything else. It was unanimous, but she wrote the opinion. And we have talked in the past, even during the Kavanaugh hearings, I do believe that she and the other liberal justices do respect the process. The process itself. I believe that. But one, I guess, ringing endorsement, if you will, about Ruth Bader Ginsburg in terms of how she would might behave, and I don't know her, but the fact that Scalia, and having read his opinions and thoughts for, you know, years before he passed, knowing that they were dear friends, I think says a lot about them both. Not just her, but him. But in regards to her, my wife watched the documentary, the RBG documentary that's out there right now for rent, and watched it. And she said, you know, it's pretty interesting. We can have those debates. We can talk about we always go back to Tim Russert, the late Tim Russert. The doing the work of a journalist, I don't care how you vote. I don't care if I know you're biased. Your work shouldn't be that unless that's what you want to do in terms of issuing opinion. Then great. Be one of the opinionated, be a pundit, and that's great too. We can still have the debate. But the work itself doesn't require just intellectual honesty. It requires honesty on every single level, including not omitting something, but putting everything out for consideration to the public.
One of the biggest things that we've noticed over the last couple of years is in stories, lying by omission.
Yes.
And in opinion pieces.
Leaving out huge pieces.
Right. Not telling the whole story.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye coming up following the top of the hour. Almost at bottom of the hour. I lost track of time here because we've been covering so many different topics here. Felony criminal charges against Jussie Smollett approved. We will get to that and the latest reaction from that. Also, the reports out there that Mueller could be wrapping up his investigation by as early as next week.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, if that's the case, we'll quote Chuck Todd, you won't want to miss work on Friday. you would expect either indictments to come down either right before, it would have to be right before the report is issued, right? Because you can't you can't finish everything until all of that work is done.
And also the Supreme Court decision, we had just mentioned it, on unjust forfeiture.
Right.
When the penalty is too great and it applies to states.
Right, yes.
That's really what changed, was that all states now are under the federal umbrella.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Now, it didn't tell the states what to do. It just told the states, if you go too far, somebody can file a suit and you are judged by the same standards that we judge on the federal level.
Right. They didn't set that standard, but they said that there is such a thing as going too far on the state level.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.